Blog Talk Radio.
That makes all things new. On this 4th of July, I pray that God heals this nation, that we as a nation will be united in love, united in hope, united in peace, united in the love of God and the love of each other. For God is a God of love. He is not a God of hate or a God of divisiveness. We have to love each other, for God loves us so much that he gave his only son for our sins, for us. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. He doesn't ask much, but he asks for us to love. And I pray that on this day of independence that we love. And that we know we are all equal in the sight of God. For to God, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. God has cleansed us from our sins. If you have accepted him in your life, you are new. You are a new creature in God. And I can say this with all my heart. And he loves you more than anything. Father God, we come together today, united in love, knowing that all things are working for our good because we are your children and you are our Father. And Lord, as my scripture for today says and asks, Lord, for you to bless this nation. Bless America, Father. Bless your people. Bless your children. Bless us, Lord, that we will do what's right in your sight, not in our sight, but in your sight. For, Lord God, we are yours and you are ours, and we want to be better today than we were yesterday. We want to treat each other right. And the word that you gave us is Psalms 33 and 12 this morning, Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Father God, I ask you to bless this nation. Whew, Lord God, because you are our Lord and our Savior is Christ Jesus. Lord God, I believe in your power. I believe in your love. I believe in your grace and your mercy toward all of us. Father God, I pray that this day be a day of family love, of families being together and not apart in the same houses. Lord God, this is a day of change. Let us never forget that you, oh God, are in charge. And we, oh God, are your humble servants. I pray, Lord God, that you use me today. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. For you are my Father God, and I am your humble servant. Father, use me. For Lord, I cannot do this without you. I cannot do this without you. So Father God, please increase as I decrease. For you are my Redeemer. And my Savior. And it's in the Savior's name. I pray this prayer, trusting in you, Father God. Trusting and believing in you, Father God. That we will one day as a nation be united in love, not hate, or divisiveness, but love for you and for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, as I pray Psalms 33 and 12, I pray that we all realize that we are all children of God. We might not all look like, we may not all sound alike, we may not all even pray alike, but we are still children of God. Peter had to come to that realization that God, if you love God, then you are not common. He pulled in all of us. We were grafted in. Neither Greek nor Jew. Neither Gentile. Whatever your situation, as long as you love God, He loves you back. No one is common to God. Once you've been cleaned by the blood of Jesus, you are grafted into the family of the Lord. By grace, we are saved. We have to know who we belong to. Who do you belong to? I belong to Father God. He is my absolute, and He loves me. He loves me in spite of me. He loves me because I'm His, and He's mine. So I thank God today for each and every one of you as we move forward in the Word of God. So let us get into the Word this morning. We were in the Old Testament in First Chronicles and went into Second Chronicles on Friday. And today we will be in Acts, and then we will have a proverb and a psalm and a proverb, permitting we have time. So let's get into the Word this morning. As we know, Peter had a dream. And in that dream, a sheet came down from heaven with all the unclean animals in it. And the Lord told Peter to eat. And he's like, I don't need unclean. I've never ate anything unclean. Because, you know, we all act like we all sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, we are all that and some. And so we're going to go back into that Word this morning, just slightly. And again, Peter had to go. He went to the house of Cornelius. You know, Cornelius was praying and Peter was praying. And then God, again, spoke to Peter. So we have the same word, different scripture for it, but same word as we did, I believe, on Thursday. But this is what it says. He was hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. And that was Acts chapter 10, verses 12 through 16. And now we're going to get into part two of this Word. And we're coming out of Acts 28 for today. But what God has cleansed, who are we to say that it's not? That it's dirty or it's filthy or if it's not this and it's not that. Who are we to question God? Who are we to question God? Who are we to question God. So we're in part two of this same lesson, different word, different chapter, actually same chapter, different verses. So let's get into it. For those that are just joining this morning, we are in Acts chapter 10, and I'm starting at verse 24. Now, Peter is in Caesarea with Cornelius. So let's get started. And it says this, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another's nations. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Can y'all say that with me? God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. United we stand, divided we fall. What does it say? But in every nation, whoever fears him, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of some. When you are saved, he is your Lord and Savior. He doesn't care what you look like on the outside. He only cares about your heart. He cares about your heart. When you repent and say, Lord, I give myself away. Use me for your glory. Not mine, but yours. And watch God work. For again, the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began with from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all people, all prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Does it say he who believes in him on Sunday? No, it says he who believes in him. That's Sunday through Saturday, that you are a believer and that you show who you are and who you belong to. We are the children of the Most High God, saved by the Holy Spirit. Saved by Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to tell us, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. They got baptized with the Holy Spirit and got baptized with water. We got to pray for the Holy Spirit to take control. When you get filled up, you can't help but speak. Hallelujah. You can't help but say, thank you, Lord. You can't help but say, Abba, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Heavenly Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you. Yeah, we are praising you today. We are praising the name of Jesus today. Yeshua, you are our Savior. You are Yeshua. You are Jesus. You are I Am. You have been there from the beginning, and you are there today, standing on the right hand of the Father. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. Hallelujah. We will hit life lessons after the word this morning. And it goes on to tell us in Acts chapter 11. It says, now the apostles and brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance. I saw a vision. An object descended like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the wild, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, but nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. Ooh, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house, told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us. At the beginning, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Hallelujah. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Syrians, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, encouraged them all with that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. But he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to see Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Did y'all hear that? A good trivial question. When was the name Christian first used in the Bible? And it was in Antioch. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And again, the enemy don't want us to read this word. He doesn't want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he sends that spirit of Python to try to choke us out. But the devil is a lie, and there is no truth in him. And I say it again. The devil is a lie, and there's no truth in him. But we know who we are. We are children of God, and we are not common. We are not unclean. We are saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the water of life. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is my everything. Hallelujah. And it says, and in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. And y'all catch that? Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they preached there a year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And that is where we were first called Christians. Hallelujah. We are God's children. We are Christians. Not in name only, but in heart, in mind, and in spirit. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian, that I believe in Christ, that I am saved, set free, and I deal with the Holy Spirit. We can't be ashamed to say who we are and who we belong to, for we are not common. We are cleansed by the Holy Spirit. We got to start speaking up and not being ashamed to let people know I believe in the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He did die on Calvary's cross for my sins. And he rose again. And every moment, every hour, every day, he intercedes for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Chapter 12 of the book of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Come on now. Can we say miraculous? So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Bellatus the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an orientation to them, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of God and not of a man, the voice of a God and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Again, don't mess with God. Herod, thinking he's all that in a bag of chips. What happened? Dead. Nobody is greater than God. And when we let folks understand that we are children of God, that we are not putting God as a second fiddle, because God is not and will not ever be second. He will always be first. He will always be our Father God. And he loves us like that. And he wants the best for us. As we go through some life lessons from today, the first one is from Acts chapter 10, verse 28. God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's a word for us today, because we are so quick to talk about folks as Christians. We are so quick to be judgmental and criticize everything and everybody. of course, under our breath, we talk about people. And it's not right. God is watching everything we do. We got to love each other. And yes, we will say some things in love about some folks, but we pray for them. We don't just talk, we pray. We don't judge, we pray. We don't put down, we pray. And that's what we have to do. We got to pray for our brothers and our sisters, for our children, and their children's children, to every generation that will come. We pray. Lifting them up, not tearing them down. It says the Bible nowhere records that God told Peter, don't call any man common or unclean. God showed Peter a vision of unclean animals made clean, and Peter reasoned out the rest. God's instruction never bypasses our mind. God will give you a dream, and he will show you how to fulfill it. We just got to keep trusting God. And know that he is God and that all things are going to work for our good because we trust in God, not in ourselves, but in him. Acts chapter 10, verse 35, in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Every nation. If we want to call ourselves the United States of America, we need to be united. We need to be united. All this divisiveness, all this craziness that's going on from one to another is not of God. God is not a God of mess. God is a God of righteousness, of order, and of love. God wants us to be in order, but he wants us loving each other. All this hate and viciousness that is going on in America needs to stop. God is watching everything we do and everything we say, especially to each other. God is not a God of foolishness. And this is what the word says. Cornelius feared God and performed righteous deeds before he heard a word about the risen Christ. But he still needed to come to faith in Jesus. Those who really seek God will find him. Jeremiah 29 and 13. And we're going to go over to Jeremiah 29, 13 this morning. I told y'all it was going to be a great word on this 4th of July, on this Independence Day. We want to be free from sin. We want to be independent with our love for God. And knowing that he is our absolute. Trusting in the Lord today. Believing in the Lord today. Knowing that we are blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. I want to be chosen. I want to be in the inheritance of God. Psalms 33 and 12. Let's go to Jeremiah right now, y'all. And we're going to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And we may read around it because I am a firm believer that everything must be in context. And so we're going to go actually up to verse number 10. And it says, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good words towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. What does he say? And you will seek me and find me, and you search for me with all your heart. When? You search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is verse 14. says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. And he loves us like that. All we got to do is seek him and find him and know that he is God. And this is what it says in verse number 10, verses 40 through 41. And it says, him God raised up on the third day, and we're talking Jesus. And let's go actually back to verse 39. Again, y'all know how I am about context. And we're talking Acts chapter 10, verse 39. And it says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Verse 40, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And it says, after his resurrection, Jesus did not appear to Pilate or to Herod or to Ananias or to Caiaphas or to those who crucified him. He appeared only to those who loved him. The rest will one day appear before him. Hallelujah. I believe that God shows us his love through his son. We are blessed beyond measure. Acts chapter 11. Verse 17. Who was I that I could withstand God? Because you know that you know how we can get in our church where we start thinking we all that now. You know, our denomination is the greatest denomination out there. Well, I am Baptist. I am Methodist. I am AME. I am Catholic. I am this and I am that. No. God had to show Peter, because Peter had that. Well, I walk with Jesus. I talk with him. You know, I'm a Jew. You know, I'm circumcised. You know, I got this thing going on. And, you know, those Gentiles, we don't have nothing to do with them. Mm-mm. They're not one of us. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted the good news preached and taught and the Holy Spirit given to whomever was willing to accept it. Are you willing to accept the Holy Spirit today? And this is what it says. And we're going to go back up a little bit. Because they about ready to jump all over Peter. And this is what he said. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And it says, once we recognize a clear move of God, we are wise to join it or stay out of the way. It may not be that we expect what we expect or even what we hope for, but he calls the shots, not us. Can y'all hear that? Who was I that I could withstand God? Peter had to ask them that. Acts chapter 11, verse 18, God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. It had never occurred to the early Jewish believers that God might actually choose to put believing Gentiles on the same spiritual plane as believing Jews. But once they saw the truth, they responded correctly by praising God. And understand, does not care what you look like. God does not care whether you are Jew or Greek. God does not care whether you're black or white, whether you are Asian, or whether you are part of the Latina X. He does not care who you are. God just says, I love you. He doesn't care where you come from. You can come from Timbuktu, But God loves you anyway. God does not care. And once we get that through our minds, we will find out that God loves us anyway, regardless. Let's go over to verse 23. It says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. How does one see the grace of God? By observing the fruit of genuine grace, dynamic worship, forgiving spirit, peace, joy, and so forth. We encourage such grace to flourish by exhorting each other to eagerly and tenaciously serve the living God. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Dr. Stanley is preaching this morning. And as we go into verse 11, chapter 11, verse 29 of the book of Acts, it says, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. A heart genuinely touched by the love of God desires to meet the needs of fellow believers in distress. God blesses us so that we might bless others. We all need each other. We all need each other. And I love this word. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Let us go over to Psalms chapter 79. Actually, we're going to start at Psalms chapter 78, verses 67 through 72. And it says, moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he had established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. God chose him. And as we continue in chapter 79, of Psalms, verse 1 through 4. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps, the dead bodies of your servants. They have given as food for the birds of the heaven, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, scorn and a derision to those who are around us. Psalm 79, verses 5 through 10. And it says, how long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought low, very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. We got to ask God to forgive us as a nation. America is having the issues it's having because we have not repented from the sin of slavery. We have not repented from the sins of our forefathers. We have not repented and ask the descendants to forgive us. We got to repent. As a nation, America was built on the blood of indigenous people and on the backs and the blood and the sweat and tears of slavery as we celebrate to acknowledge that this nation was not right. To say you are three-fifths of a person is not right. God is asking us as a nation to repent and as people to forgive. I forgive. I forgive the descendants of enslavers. I forgive the enslavers. I forgive those that bastardized the name of the Lord God to justify enslaving another human being. On this Independence Day, we have to repent and forgive. For God is good and greatly to be praised. But we have to remember that God will not bless this nation until we start to acknowledge our sins. Wow, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I do know where that came from. And I thank God for it. Because sometimes we get so caught up not wanting to be politically correct, not wanting to say anything that will hurt someone's feelings, but we got to say what thus says the Lord. We as a nation have got to repent. We as a nation have got to repent. And we as a nation have got to forgive. And we have to start nipping all that foolishness in the bud. A lie is a lie. The truth is a truth. And we got to start speaking the truth over lies. And not be afraid to say that is a lie. Because as long as we continue to walk in darkness, our nation will not be in light. And we will continue to have violence. We will continue to have the things that are going on because we are not repentant and we're still sinful and hateful based on race, based on the things that are not of God. And God is watching America. United, we will stand. Divided as a nation, we will fall. And that is a word of God and a word from God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 through 7. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Verse 8 through 9 of Proverbs chapter 20. A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from sin. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 10 through 12. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike and an abomination to the Lord. In other words, quit cheating, folks. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether that he does is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And a couple of life lessons from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And this is what it says. It would be hard. This is what Dr. Stanley says. It would be hard to think of a greater legacy to leave behind than a personal record of godly integrity. Those who develop sound moral character bless their children with a gift that lasts for generations. Can we say the word of God speaks to this nation? The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. We as men and women of God have got to walk in integrity. We've got to know who we belong to, and we got to be willing to speak up for God. And this is a last word for this morning in our scriptures. And it says, Psalm 79:9. Help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of your name. When we pray about something for the sake of God's name, we urge him to act in order to defend his reputation, to make his glory known, honor him, and to let others see his majesty and greatness. I pray this morning that God blesses our nation and that we as a people will learn to walk together in love. For God is love, and he loves us more than anything. And I just have one last thing from our word in Acts. And it is about Rhoda. You know, I want to go over here real quick to some more parts of that book of Acts. And it is Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. It says the church had already lost one leader, James, the brother of John, to the executioner, Acts chapter 12, verse 2. Now, it appeared as though they would lose Peter, too, but God loves to perform miracles in response to corporate prayer. Did y'all catch that? Miracles in response to corporate prayer. So many times we are asked to come to corporate prayer by our pastors, but folks, only a handful show up. Only a handful come. But if the whole church would come to corporate prayer and pray as a united body, watch a move of God. I tell you, watch a move of God. And even when two or three gather in his name, I can tell you from personal experience that a move of God will happen. It happened to me. And I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God for his move on me. Something got a hold of me last Tuesday at corporate prayer, and all I could do is thank God, because I feel like there's a weight that was lifted off of my shoulders. I'm trusting God for everything. I'm believing God for everything. For I know that my daddy God loves me. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12, verse 9. He went out and followed him, but thought he was seeing a vision. Even Peter couldn't believe that an angel of God was walking him out of that prison. Peter had seen visions from God before, and this scene looked so unusual that he thought it had to be another one. But it wasn't. It was actually happened. Just as he saw it, nothing is impossible for God. Say it with me this morning. Nothing is impossible for God. And as we continue in our word, Rhoda, joy in prayer. Late into the night, the church pled for God's mercy on behalf of their imprisoned leader, Peter. Rhoda, a household servant, knew well the believers who met in Mary's large house, but thought they prayed earnestly for Peter. But though they prayed earnestly for Peter, it seemed inevitable that he faced a morning execution. Suddenly, a sharp rap at the door interrupted their prayers. Rhoda approached the entrance, listened, and heard a familiar voice at the gate. Stood Peter. In her excitement, she forgot to let him in and instead ran to inform the praying church. Peter is at the door, she exclaimed, but not until Peter stood among them recounting his deliverance did they jubilantly acknowledge the Lord's provision. Just as Rhoda's gladness sustained her heart when life becomes painful, so the joy of Christ sustains you when the future appears impossible. The delight of your salvation helps you endure when disappointments and difficult issues assail you. All I can say is thank God for his grace. We all go through where we wonder, Lord, how am I going to? And you fill in the blanks. And God said, you don't have to, because I will. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to, because I will. I just thank God today for this magnificent word he has given us on this day of American independence. But we all understand that some folks were not free on that day. But we ask God to forgive us as a nation that we may move forward. I thank you for listening in this morning. If there is anyone that would like to speak today, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word for Sister Carolyn is this. I pray that the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. So I say to you this morning, may the Lord God of hope give you hope, give you love, give you everything you need on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and we will be thankful that God has given us all his love, that we are no longer bound but free. And we as a nation, let us love, let us forgive, let us be united. Let us know that we are all children of God. Because what God, come on now, has made clean is no longer unclean. We are a clean and great people of God, and he loves us like that. So I thank you all for listening in. It's time to go to work. Where do we work? We work for God. And I tell you this, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and know that it is all good because God is good. And his mercy endures forever and all times. We ask you, Lord God, have mercy upon us. Help us to love each other. Help us to love you with every part of our being. And help us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word this morning. And as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. Again, in the name of Christ Jesus, I lift you, I lift up yours, and I pray you have a wonderful day. And those families that are getting together for the barbecues and for the cookout, I pray for safety for each and every one of you, that God will protect you, God will watch over you, and that no one will leave sick, but everyone will leave healthy, healed, set free, filled with the joy of the Lord. For he is your strength. I pray for families today that God will bless you, that not one argument will be held, that everybody will have a smile on their face and the joy of the Lord in their heart. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say, on moving forward. What is it? It is a wrap. It's a wrap. Because why? It's time to go to work. It is time to go to work. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you so much for listening. Please join me tomorrow as we continue to move forward in the Word of God. And we will be in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 through chapter 6. Our Psalms for tomorrow will be Psalms chapter 79, verses 11 through 13. Our Proverbs will be Proverbs chapter 20, verses 13 through 14. And our Acts will be Acts chapter 13. So thank you very much. Be blessed and happy 4th of July. It is your day of independence. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.